Thank you, Kathy. Please stand as you are able and join in the call to worship with me. I looked and heard the voice of angels, thousands and thousands around God's throne, singing, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Then I heard every creature on earth and under the earth and in the sea sing to the one who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb for blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Please remain standing for our opening hymn, "Lift High the Cross." It's number 371. When your soul is suffering in silence, call out to the Lord our God, who heals our brokenness, who lifts us up from the pit and restores our lives. Let us confess our sin. Lord God, in the light of your glory, we see the evil we have done, the suffering we have caused, the good we have refused, and the truth we have denied. Heal us of our sin, wash us in your mercy, and feed us with your grace, so that we may follow your way and tell the good news of the gospel. Amen. Rise up from the dust, cast off the shroud of sorrow, and put on the joy of the Lord. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. May the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Please share with others around you with a nod or a wave. You may be seated. Let us pray. O God of light, by the power of your Holy Spirit, restore our sight, that in these words of Scripture and sermon we may see Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The Old Testament reading today is from Psalm 30. It's in your Bible, the Pew Bibles on the Old Testament, page 505. I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord, you, his faithful people. Praise his holy name, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. Lord, when you favored me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. What is gained if I am silenced? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. You turn my wailing into dancing. You remove my sackcloth and clothe me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord my God, I will praise you forever.
Our gospel lesson this morning is from John chapter 21, the first 19 verses. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon, Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and he jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate what kind of death by which he would glorify God. And after this, he said to him, "Follow me." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his word. Experiencing the death of a loved one is a very difficult experience. At first, there is a certain amount of emptiness, numbness. The whole thing seems like a nightmare, especially when the death is sudden. We want to wake up and things should be like they always had been. We begin the process of grief, for a few days, even perhaps a week, there are our family and friends that surround us. Then little by little, our support returns to their normal routines. We're left to work on those things that need to be taken care of following a death. Eventually, we find ourselves in need of returning to some sort of normalcy in our lives. We need to return to some sort of routine. I think this is exactly what happened to Simon Peter. He and the other disciples had been through a lot. And while they didn't have to deal with a will and probate court and those kinds of things, they certainly experienced grief like we do. Simon Peter is at the point that he needs some sort of normalcy in his life, normal routine. And so Simon Peter says to his buddies, "Let's go fishing." This is Peter giving leadership. Thomas, Nathaniel, James, and John, and two other disciples decide to follow Peter's lead. They all go out and they get in the boat and they go fishing. They went out and fished all night, catching nothing. What a surprise. This is not the first time this has happened. You remember with me not so many weeks ago when Peter told Jesus that they had been out all night and not caught anything. Jesus tells Peter to set out for deeper waters and let down the nets. The results were that they caught so many fish that the boat began to sink and Peter had to call for help. This morning we have a similar story. Peter and the other disciples have caught no fish. They were about 100 yards from shore, so they could hear Jesus say to them, "Children, you've caught no fish, have you?" When they answered no, Jesus instructed them to cast the nets to the other side of the boat. And the result was that they caught so many fish, they were not able to haul them in. We might ask ourselves, do these two stories have anything in common? And the answer is yes. If you want to go fishing, you better take Jesus. Likewise, you will not catch any fish without Jesus. Now, we could take this fishing story literally, but then we might also want to consider the story of Jesus telling Peter to set out into deeper waters. When they came to shore from that fishing story, Jesus told the men, "From now on, you'll be catching men." If we look at these two fishing stories and think about catching men, then we might want to ask ourselves, what are the implications for our church? The truth is that without Jesus, we're not going to be successful in life. We can work as hard as we can. We can fish all night and catch nothing. The truth is that individuals and as the church, we often put the cart before the horse. We make decisions, and then we ask the Lord to bless our decision. A good example is I ask couples who come to get married, why have they come to the church? Many times they'll say something like, "Well, it's tradition."